The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Okay, hi, good evening, everybody. Well, at least it's evening here in Finland. And we are continuing today with our Gemini pre-full moon meditation. And that will be followed in a couple of hours from now by our live as being, you know, identify as being meditation. We're beginning that series again, the third series, and I promise you it will be a workout for the abstract mind. So I think Michael has just put that in the chat box, that particular link, if you'd like to join us. I think there's probably some more spaces there. We're limited to 100, but after we get going on the topic, I think we'll have plenty of spaces. Anyway, I want to focus tonight on the last sermon of the Buddha, which it is said that the Christ preaches when he stands before Shambhala on behalf of humanity's aspiration.
Would you like to show your screen?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I have a lot of buttons to push. Am I now visible? Anyway, I think you've heard my voice, right? So you get the idea.
Yes. Your screen is now visible.
Okay. Thank you. It's a good thing that I said, well, I think I can do this myself. And then every once in a while, I discover that I'm either doing a pantomime show or I'm invisible. Whatever. In another couple of hours, we have the beginning. I wanted to wait until the day of the Gemini full moon. And we are now pretty much within the 12 hours of it. We're just before the 12 hours of the Gemini full moon. So that's the time when we're told that Master DK keeps a watch of the group approach to his to the higher possibilities and strengthens our meditation. So I think I'm not going to get too much into the usual as I do it, you know, the Jofra illustration. I think the keynote is enough to understand. I recognize my other self in the waning of that self, and in the waning of that self, I grow and glow. Who am I? Who am I to recognize my other self? I have to be standing in a detached space to do that. I have to be within an interior soul space to recognize the personality as my other self. And of course, the focus becomes increasingly within the interior worlds. This does not mean that that other self is not somehow enhanced, but relative to the tremendous illumination of the inner self, the outer or lesser self seems to wane relative to it, even though it may be becoming more translucent and maybe even one day more transparent. So, you know, this is the word of power. This is the mantra that we are working with as we move towards the time of the full moon tomorrow, which is just about 8:32 in the morning, Greenwich Mean Time, universal time. And here in Finland, it will be more like 11:32, and, you know, in Central Europe. And there are different time zones. And I think, you know, for people in the United States, well, okay, it may be quite in the middle of the night, but then we have to make those kinds of sacrifices, I think, to honor the moment of the full moon. DK says, a door opens and energies come through which are as no other time. So we want to be there. We want to be present. In the old days before computer, we were driving in the middle of the night, 2:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, to the place where such a meditation might be held. But now it's a lot easier with the internet. So let's take a look now. As I say, I'm going to somewhat modify this, because there's not a whole lot of time, and I don't want to get into a lengthy meditation and follow it immediately by another. But let us say, okay, that we know ourselves, or increasingly we should know ourselves, as the extended consciousness, the soul in incarnation. In other words, an aspect of this consciousness is immersed in the etheric physical field, and in the sentient or astral field, and in the field of the lower mind. And we're used to this outer man, and this is the customary self. And maybe, you know, we have to go through a special preparation to really find that we are actually more focused on the higher mental plane than we are in the realm of the personality. So we have to withdraw, you know. Pratyahara, fifth stage, in the Raja Yoga. We have to withdraw, and we pull back then. And we have the etheric physical vehicle, but we are not that. Except, of course, in the ultimate sense, but that's another matter. It's an instrument, and we have the emotional, feeling, sentient vehicle. But we are not that. And we have the lower mind with all of its thoughts and its mental operations. But we are not that. We are consciousness getting ready to move into a higher field, altogether the higher mind. And it's as if, instead of being faced with the customary human being that we very often are, we are entering a world of spiritual light and spiritual love and spiritual sacrificial will. We're entering a higher home, the Temple of Solomon. We're entering this more permanent vehicle where all the values of our many incarnations are stored. Try to get the feeling of that, of having entered that field of the egoic lotus or the causal body. And it would be a very good thing if, in our customary living, we could have that dual sense, you know, part of the dual life of the disciple, of really living within that field, even as we use what I want to call the instrumental self. We are not the instrumental self, we use it. We recognize the instrumental self. And in the relative waning of that self compared to the growing light of the inner self, the inner self, grow, and glow. We reach out to the men and women of goodwill. We try to find them in soul, as if we are connected with them. And we reach out to the members of the new group of world servers. They are more intensely on the service path, and they're doing a focused kind of good wherever they may be found. And it's as if we identify with them because we hope too that we may be members of that inner serving group. And really, we reach out to every human being, whether in the body or out of the body. The soul of humanity is one. And as DK tells us, there is no my soul or thy soul. There's the one consciousness with many different points of view within it, we might say. And those points of view are held at different points of tension. But it's all one seeing, one registering, one sensitivity, and one being behind it all. And so we are that being. And we have to somehow know that, find a way to know that. And through the use of the mantra, naught is but me, maybe we can begin to know that we are this all-pervading something which is a vast consciousness and an identical being under all circumstances. Naught is but me. And in order maybe to see this, we can project our consciousness towards the higher spaces of the spiritual triad, the Atma Buddhi Manas. We may not reach the permanent atom of Buddhi or Atma because it's a very special high point of tension for those beyond the stage of master, but we can move in that direction. And we can see the seven-colored rainbow bridge passing through the accumulated energies of the soul gathered around the mental unit on the lower mental plane. And the bridge will pass through that, and we can project. We can project the idea that I see the greatest light, and we can sound the Om as we project into the spaces where we can know that naught is but me. So we'll sound the Om outwardly, and inwardly I see the greatest light as we project our energy along the lighted way into higher and higher points of tension. The universe is light, the Kabbalah tells us, and substance is light, and we are finding higher and higher intensities of this light. For our practical purposes, we can stop perhaps at the unfettered enlightenment of Shambhala, at least to cognize it. And be aware that that realm of light, lighted purpose and plan can and should and must descend into our daily activity. We want to cooperate. We want to cooperate with the great Buddha who is still with us and will be for the majority of the Aquarian age. The Christ, too, the Bodhisattva extending his term from 2,500 years to 5,000 years, he's with us, and the Masters. So we'll visualize each one of them giving our loyalty and cooperation and support and help as much as we can on our own level to the great Buddha. To the Lord Maitreya, the Christ. Whose festival we are now celebrating. To the Lord Maurya, the head of all esoteric schools and organizations, the strengthener. To the Master Kuthumi. The coming Christ of a future time. To the Master DK. The messenger, and to our own master, whomever we know or imagine that master to be. And to the entire spiritual hierarchy of the planet that is working with humanity particularly, we offer our salutations, our cooperation, our intention to help the plan manifest on this planet. We can extend our group thought very reverently towards Shambhala, the center where the will of God is known, where the divine purpose is held, not fully revealed even to the hierarchy, and certainly not revealed to us, but from that purpose comes the plan. And may our lives be guided as much as possible by an understanding of the divine purpose, so we'll sound a long interior silent om, seeing that take place. And how amazing a life it would be if we truly were guided by divine purpose and the plan which makes it effectual, makes it manifest. We are, shall we say, as if in the presence of Master DK. We are like a point of light that has traveled the golden pathway into the indigo sun. We're going to meet along the way Mercury, who is the expression of mind wisdom, just as the Buddha is, on a lesser scale. And the higher worlds can come into the lower via Mercury. The exchange occurs. The Antikarana is built. The bridge is built. We will be in the aura of Mercury. And we will be in the aura of Venus, the planet of love, wisdom, or one of those planets. And the Christ expresses on a lower turn of the spiral the love, wisdom of Venus. It draws all things together in beauty and harmony. And makes for right human relations and brotherhood. And we can be guided by the solar angel, Venus, by our elder sister, elder to the earth, Venus. We do have our model, we do have our guide. We are to become more and more like Venus and less like Mars. And we do not forget the earth, the field of service, the hierarchical ruler of Gemini. One day, the earth will function fully as the base of the spine center of our solar logos, and Gemini will help that come about, and so will Mercury, that we can connect, actually, with the base chakra in man, and so will Venus help. Mercury, Venus, and the Earth. We keep them in mind. We are in their aura. We are witnessing the making sacred of Earth, and this also means of our own Earth, our own personality, our own substance. We're in the second ray solar system, which is a heart center in a great cosmic logos, and all of us really have our at least temporary monadic home within the sun, as it is said. We are units of love, wisdom, whatever our other rays may be, and that's the lesson of this solar system, better learned at this time almost than any other, with Gemini being the head of the cosmic Christ and such a second ray constellation or sign. So may we be burning up in the consuming fire of love. Our God is a living fire, the fire of love. And we have to become also, as we approach mastership, the living fire of love. And we'll use Gemini at this time to help us do that, with its light of interplay, bringing together in harmony the pairs of opposites, making unity out of the two, resolving differences, and bringing the kind of love, unity, harmony into the human family that is so needed at this time. Not just the war between the opposites, but the coming together in unity of the opposites. Now, the Buddha and the Christ are the two brothers in the light, mind wisdom and love wisdom. They are on a lower turn of the spiral, they are Gemini, and we learn from both of them. Both of them are our major teachers. And they are in the bonds of cooperation and brotherly love, probably beyond anything we can imagine. And so before the Buddha deliberately passed away, how interesting that the figure eight again was involved, you know. Mercury, the guardian at the eighth gate, Scorpio, the moon was in Scorpio, the full moon, Taurus, Scorpio, and he lived to be 80 years old. The eight is always there for the Buddha, and interestingly enough, it is also the symbol of the Antikarana. The figure eight describes energy paths for the Antikarana. So the Christ repeats these words. Of course, I imagine they're given in various ways. They were taken down, you know. The Buddha, like the Christ, did not write anything. Others took down what he said, but this was his final sermon. Very beautiful words, and we'll, again tomorrow, we'll experience those. But we want to internalize this lesson that he gave upon departing. Of course, we know he didn't really depart. That's part of the whole problem, the so-called sin of the Buddha. He did not depart. He stayed with the humanity that he so much loved. The message is self-reliance, and let's see what it means to us. Be ye lamps unto yourselves. Rely upon yourselves. Do not rely upon external help. Well, what is the self? He's not just saying rely upon your personality, is he? We have to rely upon the sources of light within ourselves, which ultimately turns out to be a very great power. We have to inquire the way and become self-illumining beings. Hold fast to the truth as a lamp. Seek salvation in the truth alone. Look not for assistance to anyone besides yourselves. So the source of light is within us, and if we will to tell the truth, as difficult as it may be on occasion, it will illumine our lives. Master D.K. was said to be, by H.P. Blavatsky, who knew him at the time, a youth so pure that no lie would ever cross his lips. And this is the third ray celebration of the truth, the major, a major monadic ray of the Buddha, the third ray. Probably the same for Master DK. The good, ray one, the beautiful, ray two, the true. The good, the beautiful, and the true, ray three. And over the last several days, 3 days, we've been focusing on love, resurrection, and contact, and we've taken this little section about the overcoming that each disciple must master. As it is read, let us see what we've done and what we have yet to do. Let each brother overcome the grief which arises from the body's cravings. Let each brother overcome the grief which arises from all sensations. Let each brother overcome the grief which arises from the craving due to ideas or to reasoning or to feeling. It's the word craving, isn't it, as it applies to the phenomenal worlds about which the Buddha warned us in the first three of the Noble Truths, that if we were attached to the phenomenal worlds, there would be, through craving, there would be grief. We have to detach from the lower 18 subplanes. And I suspect that none of us has completely succeeded here. And that's the great lesson of the Buddha, a sixth-degree initiate. Now the Buddha speaks of his own life. My age is now full ripe, and my life draws to its close. Master Maurya said the Buddha blessed the world by passing on instead of remaining immortal, as he could have, because then he would have been worshipped rather than imitated and followed Same thing with the imitation of the Christ. Not the worship of the Christ, but the imitation of the Christ. The book by Thomas A Kempis. So the symbolic age of 80. My age is now full ripe, my life draws to its close. And this is deliberate, of course. I leave you, I depart, relying on myself alone. How he does emphasize that point. But he might as well have said, relying on the self alone, which contains all the knowledge and wisdom which is necessary. And it's all internal, and each one of us has it. We have to learn to stand on our own two feet, spiritually, to stand in spiritual being. And we're told in the Destiny of the Nations that the Buddha had a Ray 1 personality, and his sub-ray along the second ray line was Ray 1. Monadic ray, at least one of them, was Ray 3, and we don't know about the other one. Probably Ray 2. My age is now full ripe. Okay. When the light of Gnosis, that is divine knowledge, has dispelled the dark of ignorance, when all existence has been seen as void, here comes the Buddhist doctrine of the void, which in another way is the plenum, or the ever full, the no thing, which is the substratum of everything. So the void is only empty of form, it's not empty of being. When all existence has been seen as void, void and without substance. Form has no natural substance. It is the ultimate substance which underlies form, the ultimate substance. So this is what we must learn to see. And part of this is the reason that I go into these identify as being teachings. Coming up. When all existence has been seen as void, void and without substance, then when life draws to its close, that is the outer life, peace will ensue. A peace which seems secure at last, a long, long illness. The illness of identification with the worlds of phenomena, which are a great limitation upon full livingness, a long, long illness. Everything must come to an end, that is, every form. Though it may last for an eon, though it may last for an eon, the parting hour is surely bound to come in the end. No form is forever, only absolute substance forever, but no form. Now again, he speaks of himself as a emanation coming from being. Now I have done what I could do, both for myself and for others. I've done what I could do. And we want to leave our life, our little incarnation, very much lesser than that of the Buddha, but still our incarnation. We want to leave it thinking the same truthfully, not deceiving ourselves. I have done what I could do. And now he enjoins the brothers gathered around him. He gives them the charge, as it were. At the end of the ritual comes the charge, the electrification of the listener, the empowerment of the listener. Be earnest then, O brethren, holy, full of thought. You see how the Ray 3 comes through, and the sincerity of it with his sixth ray mind. Be steadfast in resolve. There's the first ray. Keep watch o'er your own hearts. In other words, what do you desire? Because the desires of the heart will determine whether you commit yourself to bondage or whether you achieve freedom. What are the desires of the heart? They should be higher desires and relate to the realm of true livingness more than the solar plexus ever can. So we really want to live by the desires of the heart in the sense that it is a Buddhic organ. And now you notice how he infuses all of this with strength because he has so much of it. His first ray is very strong. Who wearies not, but holds fast to the truth and law, shall cross this sea of life, samsara, shall make an end of grief. Our guide is the truth, our guide is the law. The first ray and the third ray emphasized here. Then came the Christ to emphasize profoundly the second ray. But the teaching side, the wisdom side of the second ray, surely the Buddha emphasized. Who wearies not to forego peace, to forfeit rest, as it is said, for and of the disciple, but holds fast to the truth and law, the divine law, shall cross this sea of life, shall make an end to grief. We overcome the samsara. And so now the final charge. Be ye therefore mindful and vigilant. Master Moria, who probably was with the Buddhist group in some way, always calls for vigilance, for keen observation of everything that's going on. The Buddha himself, we're told in the Agni Yoga books, gave an experiment. He seemed to sit before his group. He just seemed to sit there. And they didn't know, you know, what was going on. And maybe they looked in his direction, maybe not, I'm not sure. Then at the end of it all, he said, how many times did I change the folds in my garment? talk about being observant and vigilant, and it turned out to be over 100 times. So he taught them a lesson about observation. Be ye therefore mindful and vigilant. The time has come for my entry into nirvana. And we know that nirvana is but the beginning of the endless way. It's not the final destination. These are my last words. The time has come for my entry into nirvana. And of course, he has such control, you know, as a, well, he's an initiate of the sixth degree. We're not talking about Prince Siddhartha. We're not talking about Gautama. We're talking about the real Buddha who used the prince the same way that the Christ used the Master Jesus. So there's marvelous lessons in this sermon, and the Christ seeks to emphasize that to all of us so that we can really gain from the great lesson of the Buddha, the great lesson of self reliance. In another translation, he says, those who either now or after I am dead shall be a lamp unto themselves, relying upon themselves only and not relying upon any external help. The same idea, different words, but holding fast to the truth as their lamp and seeking their salvation in the truth alone, shall not look for assistance to anyone besides themselves. Now, as disciples, can we take that on? It is they, Ananda. Ananda is his chief disciple. The word means bliss. It is they, Ananda, among my bhikshus, who shall reach the very topmost height. But they must be anxious to learn. How very practical. And then some of the words that we just recited. So shifting then to the idea that the Christ and the Buddha are here cooperating, we imagine the Christ looking towards Shambhala, where the Buddha has his, what's called a residence, as it were, his focus, his point of attention. And the Christ will be focusing all of human aspiration and directing it toward Shambhala for the response that can come. And the love of Shambhala will come forth. Light, light supernal, love eternal, peaceful, silent will. So let us imagine that the Christ and all his hierarchy are sounding the great invocation together, and that we are sounding with them. Let us imagine that. World Invocation Day starts tomorrow, Monday, same day as the full moon, and we invoke the higher worlds, seeking the evocation from whatever our point of tension merits. So with the hierarchy and with the Christ, we sound from the point of light within the mind of God, Let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Such a sense of solidarity, you know, when we imagine that we're hearing the Christ and his hierarchy and we joining them all together. And the aspiration of all of us, of the human race, is focused by them and offered up to Shambhala. And the love eternal can pour forth. Well, as I said, basically I'm abbreviating this meditation tonight, making it, you know, more spontaneous and less tied to the form that I usually use. We have now, let's see here, maybe this would be the way to do it. It's almost midnight here, and I just want to check this out. The lunar phase, and it looks like we're dealing here with thirty-two. So now we're within the 12-hour period, not 11:32, but 11:30:32. Or 8:30:32 GMT, that will be the time of the full moon. So between this time and that, let us increase our point of attention. Let us use the mantra, I recognize my other self. And in the waning of that self, I grow and glow. Let us take our position as the higher of the pairs of opposites. Let us live both the interior life and the outer instrumental life. And let us spread to all human beings in the state of soul the love wisdom of Gemini, making contact, expressing love, and preparing for the resurrection of human consciousness. And let us keep Mercury and Venus and Gemini in mind. These energies are ambient now. And if we're awake, well, we can certainly deal with them. And if we're asleep, maybe we can deal with them too. So many blessings, everybody. Lots of love. And in 1 hour, in 1 hour, we'll be looking at the absolute, which is kind of interesting when you consider Gemini, because Gemini represents everything dual. Language is dual. We'll have to evolve a new language to put together the opposites and to find that one eternal substandingness, substance, which is the utter reality behind all things and all variety arising out of it. But in a way, you know, Gemini has a lot to do with the theory of emanation and how the candle that is lit from the major candle does not put the major candle out. The major candle remains and the new light, maybe a little lesser light, goes forth. So the emanation which controls our lives is very much related to Gemini. So maybe we'll see some of you then in about an hour. And here in the chat box, I think Michael has, has put in here the, somewhere here. It is. Yeah, there it is. Okay. And that starts in 1 hour. Okay, thank you. And let's continue to hold our point of tension and intensify it. It's really a beautiful time, one of the high points of the spiritual year. Let's put it like that. And the love wisdom should be very strong. And our brotherhood with each other should be rapidly developing under the influence of Gemini. So we'll see you a little later, and this will be up on Makara as soon as we can manage it. So many blessings, and let's see. We'll see you soon. Okay. Bye-bye.